Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Blessed Easter season to you, and peace, mercy, and forgiveness are yours through Jesus Christ this day. If you've been following Mount Olivet worship diligently over the last month or so, and especially last week, you'll notice that today's gospel story is largely a repeat of last week's scripture. It tells the story of Jesus appearing to his disciples after his death and confronting Thomas in his disbelief. The other disciples have told Thomas that Jesus is risen, he's alive, and Thomas essentially says, "You guys are full of beans. There's no way. I am not going to trust that that reality is true." And so Jesus shows up again, invites Thomas to see for himself the holes in Jesus' hands and to touch the wound in his side. And then Thomas confesses the great proclamation of the gospel, "My Lord and my God." In case you missed it, go back and watch Pastor Lose's sermon from last week. One of the things he says is that he thinks Thomas gets a bad rap. And I agree, not least of which because I can relate to Thomas being hesitant and a bit cynical about all this business. But also, Pastor Lose wisely points out that Thomas is the one disciple who finally makes the great confession that the gospel is intended to communicate. Jesus shows us who God is in our very own life and death. Although the scripture is the same as last week, essentially, today's focus for the sermon is on the last verses of the passage, which read this: "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." I'll say that again. These are written so that you may come to believe. I remember learning quite a while ago, I don't know if it was a Bible study or a class I was taking, that the word for belief in the scripture might better be translated as trust. And now, whenever I read scripture and come to that word belief, I can't help but think of trust. And it helps me because it moves it out of an either-or situation and more into a relationship. That is, I can have different amounts of trust, and perhaps only a shred of trust is needed. Because I know this truth: trust can be difficult. I appreciate Thomas because he kind of embodies this for me. How do you trust that Jesus is risen from the dead and that he is God? It can be hard. And yet it seems that Jesus understands this. He keeps showing up to show us his hands and to say, "Here I am in your life and in your death." There are so many obstacles to trust we can face in this world and in our own lives. There's our own doubts, maybe our desire for proof and evidence, or maybe our own shame or confusion, or the things that we've experienced in life. We've experienced betrayal, perhaps, or we've betrayed others. There's our fears. There's misinformation out there, people trying to lead us with bogus facts. Trust can be really tough stuff. And I think the writer of John knows this because throughout we get the story after story of different people in different situations to whom Jesus keeps showing up and offering relationship. If you walk through the gospel, it's kind of striking. At the beginning, Jesus encounters who will be the first disciples. They're wondering about him, and he says, "Come and see." He has a discussion with a religious leader, Nicodemus, who can't quite understand what Jesus is up to or where he's from. Jesus invites him in. He meets a woman at the well who with whom, for all intents and purposes of social custom and religious rules, Jesus should not even be talking to at all, and she ends up becoming one of the great evangelists, telling the story of Jesus to her community. He meets a man born blind, and the man, without even asking for healing, is healed by Jesus. He confronts his friend Lazarus, who is dead and stinky in a grave for 4 days, and says, "Lazarus, come on out of there, buddy." And Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha, and the crowd who are sad, and Jesus joins with them. He encounters Pontius Pilate, who struggled with what was true. Peter, the disciple who denied him. Mary Magdalene, who thought Jesus' body had been stolen from the grave. The disciples hiding in fear, and Thomas, who wanted some sort of evidence. And Jesus shows up for each and every person. And then after John tells all that story, he says, "This is all written for you. It's all there for you, for us. For anyone who encounters this word and this Savior, that you might see that he's for you." Why? Because trust can be hard. But that's what Easter brings. We live in a messy and chaotic and varied world. I think it's fair to say it's an understatement to say our collective life has had a few changes to it lately. Any of your routines changed a bit? How are you doing in all that? Recently, for me, the reality of the virus, like it has for millions around the world, has hit closer to home in a stark and awful way. A friend and colleague of mine died just 2 weeks ago due to the effects of contracting COVID-19. Pastor Craig Breimhorst. He'd been serving at a congregation in Faribault, a healthy 71-year-old man, married, children, grandchildren. Craig is kind of the guy, a person in the world. When you thought of him, you were just glad that there was somebody like him around. Funny, smart, passionate. When you were in his presence, you knew that you were loved. It's left me a bit in doubt, a bit angry, really sad, and in disbelief. People are missing him dearly. And at the same time, Craig's trust in Jesus keeps preaching to me. I want to read just an excerpt from his obituary that his family wrote. They write, "Pastor Craig Breimhorst, age 71, fell back into the strong and loving arms of Jesus on Thursday, April 16th. They say, "It was right that Craig should die at Easter time because he always said, we are Easter people. And it was Easter that truly shaped his life. Not only was he always busy and going like the Easter bunny, but the hope and joy and love of Easter shone through his life. He brought the hope of resurrection to countless people as he sat and cared for them as they were dying or grieving, pointing the way to the risen Christ. He loved the joy of Easter and weddings and baptisms and working with youth. Joyful times when he could laugh or tell a story or squirt the congregation with his super soaker, telling them to remember their baptism. That gives me some ideas around Mount Olivet. His grandchildren were the joy of his life, whether jumping into a pool or into his lap, but it was the love of Easter that truly empowered his life, the love of Jesus for children and youth, the love of Jesus for those who questioned or had doubts, the love of Jesus for outsiders and immigrants, the love of Jesus for family. With Craig, love always won and love will always win." I'm still grieving and sad that Craig has died. I'm still in doubt and disbelief, and at the same time, I can hear Craig's voice and see his face telling me, "Charlie, we are Easter people. We are Easter people. These are written so that you may come to believe, so that you may come to trust and have life in Jesus' name." We are Easter people, which means Jesus keeps showing up. Trust, relationships can be difficult, and we are Easter people. Life can be worrisome and scary, and we are Easter people. Like Thomas or Mary Magdalene or Nicodemus or the woman at the well or hungry folks of various walks and circumstances, we long for truth and love and hope, and we are Easter people. So dear ones, hear that proclamation today. If you're having difficulty in faith and life, know that you are not alone. You join with countless others who have followed Jesus before you, and this story is shared so that you would be Easter people. This week, as you encounter the world, perhaps the word of Christ will continue to compel you to faith, to action, to overflowing love, to assurance, and to hope. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and we are Easter people. Amen.